Tonight's class is dedicated to my good well-wishing friend Kamlesh Patel on the occasion of his birthday. Kamlesh was the producer of my Bhagavad Gita DVD. May Krishna bless him with long life in devotional service. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this verse occurs in the chapter where Maharaj Yudhisthira begins to observe inauspicious omens. He had sent his younger brother Arjuna to Dwaraka to learn of the itinerary of the Lord. But Arjuna did not come back timely. And Maharaj Yudhisthira observed many inauspicious signs. And being a most intelligent monarch, he could surmise that something very inauspicious had occurred. And he practically guessed. And when his brother Arjuna returned from Dwaraka to Hastinapur, Arjuna's dejection, Arjuna's face, as we say, the eyes are the windows to the soul. By the countenance of Arjuna, Yudhisthira could understand something very, very horrible had occurred. And Yudhisthira, first of all, asked Arjuna if he had done anything improper or was unable to observe religious codes. And then Arjuna began to explain the disappearance of Krishna and the Yadu dynasty. And Arjuna also explained how he was feeling so much loss and separation from his beloved Lord Krishna. And then he recites this verse. Desha kalarta yuktani hrittapo pashamani cha haranti smaratas chittang govinda bihitani me. Arjuna said to his brother Yudhisthira, now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. So obviously, Arjuna is referring to the Bhagavad Gita, the conversation that he and Krishna had just prior to the inauguration of the great battle of Kurukshetra. But as I said, Prabhupada's purport to this verse is a nice summary understanding. So I'd like to read this purport so that we will glean the real essence of Bhagavad Gita. First, I will offer my respects to my spiritual master. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. Srila Prabhupada says, herein Arjuna refers to the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but for all time and in all lands. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord Himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures, like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Vedanta Sutras. It is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers, and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and higher sections of the Vaishyas. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of worldly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, Arjuna wanted again to remember the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements, which may embarrass one in some critical time. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, so that one can take instruction from the Lord. Even when he is not visible to material eyesight. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is another form of the Lord's manifest energy. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita, or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord, is also the incarnation of the Lord. There is no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord Himself. One can derive the same benefit from the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. The faithful human being who is desirous of being liberated from the clutches of material existence can very easily take advantage of the Bhagavad Gita. And with this in view, the Lord instructed Arjuna as if Arjuna were in need of it. In the Bhagavad Gita, five important factors of knowledge have been delineated pertaining to, number one, the Supreme Lord, number two, the living being, 3, nature, 4, time and space, And number five, the process of activity. Out of this, the Supreme Lord and the living being are qualitatively one. The difference between the two has been analyzed as the difference between the whole and the part and parcel. Nature is inert matter displaying the interaction of three different modes. And eternal time and unlimited space are considered to be beyond the existence of the material nature. Activities of the living being are different varieties of aptitudes which can entrap or liberate the living being within and without material nature. All these subject matters are concisely discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, and later the subject matters are elaborated in the Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment. Out of the five subjects, the Supreme Lord, the living entity, nature, and time and space are eternal. But the living entity, nature, and time are under the direction of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is absolute and completely independent of any other control. The Supreme Lord is the supreme controller. The material activity of the living being is beginningless, but it can be rectified by transferal into the spiritual quality. Thus, it can cease its material qualitative reactions. Both the Lord and the living entity are cognizant, and both have the sense of identification, of being conscious as a living force. But the living being, under the condition of material nature called Mahat-Tattva, misidentifies him or herself as being different from the Lord. The whole scheme of Vedic wisdom is targeted to the aim of eradicating such a misconception, and thus liberating the living being from the illusion of material identification. When such an illusion is eradicated by knowledge and renunciation, the living beings are responsible actors and enjoyers also. The sense of enjoyment in the Lord is real, but such a sense in the living being is a sort of wishful desire only. This difference in consciousness is the distinction of the two identities, namely the Lord and the living being. Otherwise, there is no difference between the Lord and the living being. The living being is therefore eternally one and different simultaneously. The whole instruction of the Bhagavad Gita stands on this principle. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord and the living beings are both described as Sanatan, or eternal, and the Lord's abode, far beyond the material sky, is also described as Sanatan. The living being is invited to live in the Sanatan existence of the Lord, and the process which can help a living being to approach the Lord's abode, where the liberated activity of the soul is exhibited, is called Sanatan Dharma. One cannot, however, reach the eternal abode of the Lord without being free from the misconception of material identification. And the Bhagavad Gita gives us the clue. It gives us the clue how to achieve this stage of perfection. The process of being liberated from the misconception of material identification is called, in different stages, fruitive activity, number two, empiric philosophy, and number three, devotional service, up to transcendental realization. Such transcendental realization is made possible by dovetailing all the above items in relation with the Lord. Prescribed duties of the human being, as directed in the Vedas, can gradually purify the sinful mind of the conditioned soul and raise him or her to the stage of knowledge. The purified stage of acquiring knowledge becomes the basis of devotional service to the Lord. As long as one is engaged in researching the solution of the problems of life, one's knowledge is called jnana, or purified knowledge. But on realizing the actual solution of life, one becomes situated in the devotional service of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the problems of life by discriminating the soul from the elements of matter and proves by all reason and argument that the soul is indestructible in all circumstances and that the outer covering of matter, the body and the mind, change for another term of material existence, which is full of miseries. The Bhagavad Gita is therefore meant for terminating all different types of miseries. And Arjuna took shelter of this great knowledge, which had been imparted to him during the Kurukshetra battle. So, in less than 15 minutes, Srila Prabhupada has just given a wonderful synopsis of the purport of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahima. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahima. So now, the next thing I would like to do is go over the four nutshell or seed verses of Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada informs us that there are four nutshell verses of the Bhagavad Gita, and there are four nutshell verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the four nutshell verses or seed verses of Bhagavad Gita, they find themselves in the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter is entitled The Opulence of the Absolute, and it is in verse numbers 8 through 11 that we find the four nutshell seed verses of Bhagavad Gita. So to put ourselves in the proper consciousness for Sunday's Gita Yajna, I'd like to go over those verses. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajande mang buddha bhava samanvita. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Krishna says, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So this first of the four nutshell verses, when Krishna says, I am the source, both spiritual and material, everything emanates from him, Krishna is indicating that he is the absolute truth. The absolute truth is beyond even the conception of God, because the absolute truth signifies that from which everything comes, that which everything is sustained or rests on, and that which everything will eventually enter again. So here, Krishna is pointing out he is the absolute truth. Then, the second half of this verse, Krishna is referring to pure devotees. And here he says, Buddha. Such persons are very, very learned. And the proof of their learning is that they engage in Krishna's service with devotion, and they do so with full heart. That is the mark of a pure devotee. Wholehearted. We see Lord Jesus Christ said the same thing. Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the essence of religion. Some people think religion means a club. I belong to this club. I belong to that club. Some people think religion means a set of rules and regulations, codes. Some people think religion means something that I do in order to become a better person, or something I do in order to improve my material life. But the real definition of religion is given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema Pumarato Mahan. The ultimate goal of religion is to develop your dormant love of God. Love of God is there within everyone, but it simply has to be awakened. Now we will go to the second of the seed verses, Chatushloki of Bhagavad Gita. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantas chamam nityam Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this whole verse is about devotees. And the first thing, what's the sign of a devotee? A devotee is always thinking of Krishna. Krishna gives that instruction at the end of chapter 9. He gives practically the same instruction towards the end of chapter 18. You know that you're a devotee, or I should say, a pure devotee, because you're always thinking of Krishna. The next thing, their lives are fully devoted to my service. So action speaks louder than words. A pure devotee, the whole life is dedicated to serving Krishna. Krishna is served in 9 different ways. You're doing the first one, hearing, then chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping, praying, completely surrendering. 9 different kinds of service. And the pure devotee is fully, the whole life, the whole day, everything is somehow or other engaged in this 9 kinds of service. And Lord Chaitanya points out, the most important are the first two, hearing and chanting. We should be hearing and chanting as much as possible. And for the pure devotee, he is hearing and chanting and doing others, remembering. But this hearing and chanting is the fundamental building blocks. You cannot get to the other 7 items unless hearing and chanting is done vigorously and has to be done great volume. Great volume and good quality. Now the next thing. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Because the pure devotees have the same interest. They belong to the same fan club, the Krishna club. The mark of a pure devotee is that whenever there is an opportunity, the pure devotee wants to say something about his or her lovable object, Krishna. That is another sign of a pure devotee. Whenever he or she gets the opportunity, the first thing out of the mouth, Krishna. And by doing so, one develops great bliss. It is greatly enjoyable. And they like to share this with other devotees. So this is what devotees do with each other. They hear and chant and talk about Krishna. That is the sign of a good devotee relationship. The central point is Krishna. Now let's go to the third of the nutshell verses. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. We must always remember that Krishna is a person. In this Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 15, Krishna refers to himself as Purushottama, the supreme or transcendental topmost person. The whole chapter is called Purushottam Yoga, how to link with this supreme person. So Krishna is saying again how he reciprocates. In the fourth chapter, Krishna said that as my devotees surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So that indicates that a relationship with Krishna is reciprocal. It's not a one-way street. Nobody likes a relationship which is one-way. It's very frustrating. But when the relationship goes two ways, then it is very satisfying. So Krishna, being the Supreme Person, reciprocates with the devotee according to their level of surrender. But here he's saying, for those who are constantly devoted to serving me, so Krishna is in the heart. He is represented in the heart. And in chapter 15, Krishna points out, because I'm in the heart, I cause you to remember, I cause you to forget, and it is me that gives you the real understanding of things. So here Krishna is saying, with the pure devotees, or the devotee who is constantly striving to serve Krishna, Krishna in that devotee's heart, what will he do? The understanding by which you come to Krishna. Krishna wants us to come to him, but he does not interfere with your free will, with your independence. But if you indicate to Krishna, Krishna, I want to come to you, Krishna will help you. He wants you. He wants you to come to him, but you have to want also. He's not going to force. But if you show some inclination to want to come to Krishna, then Krishna will help. And when, like it says here, constantly devoted. So when one is constantly devoted, that means they are the most serious and sincere. Therefore, Krishna gives them all kinds of help, how they can come to him, how they can return to him. This is called Buddhi Yoga, real intelligence, linking, reconnecting with Krishna. And now the final verse of the four nutshell verses. Tesham evanukam partam aham ajnana jantamaha nashayam yatma bhavastu jnana deepena bhasvata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So, in chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that he was equal to everyone. But here, he talks about special mercy. So Krishna is equal, but he sometimes will show special mercy to who? To these devotees, which he has talked about in the previous three verses, who are constantly striving to attain him. Again, dwelling in their hearts. What does he do? He has the shining lamp of knowledge. Of course, that knowledge he already talked about, how you can come back to Krishna. The darkness born of ignorance. The dark